HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world,
the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. All classes are virtual today at Milwaukee Lutheran High School after a shooting at Friday night's football game. Pete Schwaba has more.
Last we knew, police were still on the lookout for whoever fired several shots inside the stadium at Friday night's game between Milwaukee Lutheran and Pius High Schools. No one was hurt, and the apparent shooter got away. The game was cut short, and all of the rest of Lutheran High's homecoming activities were canceled. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
The Brewers are getting ready for baseball's playoffs, and state lawmakers are scrambling this week to ensure the team's long-term future in Milwaukee. Local officials in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County might drive the hardest bargain. Mayor Cavalier Johnson wants some of the parking lots around American Family Field to generate new tax revenue. Rick Schlesinger is the Brewers' president of business operations. He says that's easier said than done.
There's certainly a lot of parking spaces, but to think that we can just short-term turn this into a beer district or a major development, the economics, you know, are somewhat daunting.
Schlesinger was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. So was the author of the Brewers bill, Republican Representative Rob Brooks. Brooks says he's open to another local demand, which is a lower financial contribution.
I understand that it's a heavy lift, you know, with the financial situation the city and the county find themselves in, but I think we can get there.
Local leaders also want more representation on the stadium district board. Brooks says the bill could be ready to go to committee in a matter of days. Insurance enrollment season is underway. As Mike Moan reports, many people in Wisconsin will soon make decisions about their health coverage.
Allison Epseseth leads Covering Wisconsin, which has navigators who provide unbiased information for free on a lot of these topics. They also can calm nerves about assumptions that all insurance is too expensive.
There are always new plans coming on the marketplace, especially Wisconsin has a really robust number of plans available.
She also notes that 90% of people who turn to the marketplace for private coverage get financial assistance to help cover their premiums. More information also can be found at wiscovered.com. I'm Mike Moen.
Five flamingos made a rare visit to Wisconsin Friday. A big crowd of onlookers came to the Lake Michigan shore in Port Washington to see the three adults and two younger flamingos. Bird experts say it's the first time the tropical birds have made it here. The sighting was unexpected, but not a complete shock. Wildlife biologists have an educated guess the birds were pushed north by Hurricane Idalia last month. Flamingos are more common along the Gulf of Mexico. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Minnesota resident is dead after a crash in western Wisconsin on Friday evening. According to the St. Croix Sheriff's Office, 26-year-old Andreas Aristido of Maple Grove, Minnesota, was killed after a crash in the town of Glenwood around 5:30 p.m. on Friday. Aristido reportedly failed to yield to a Wisconsin driver and was pronounced dead at the scene upon the arrival of authorities. The other driver was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, and the incident is still under investigation. Human trafficking in Wisconsin will be at the forefront of the Wisconsin State Legislature this week. Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has announced his task force on human trafficking will have its first meeting on Wednesday, with representatives from the State Department of Justice and Department of Public Instruction expected to testify. The goal of the task force is to find more tools Wisconsin can use to combat human trafficking. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers with an incredible comeback win. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Saints 18-17 in front of 78,000 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love, who had thrown his first interception of the year, was asked how hard was it to overcome a 17-0 deficit.
It's not easy. It's a total team win right there. Everybody's got to, you know, step up, make plays, and we did on all phases at the end.
Love ran for a touchdown, threw another to Romeo Doubs, then converted for 2 points on a PAT. It's the biggest come-from-behind victory since 2018 when Aaron Rodgers led a comeback against the Bears. Matt LaFleur.
Got to give the Saints a ton of credit, but I cannot tell you, I've never been a part of a win like this.
Did the comeback win boost the team's confidence in Jordan Love? Packers defensive end Kenny Clark.
Even more. We already had confidence in him and you know what he can do. And this just, you know, preaches to what we've been saying all along.
So the Packers are now 2-1. They host the Lions this Thursday night. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers pulled off a 38-17 win over the Purdue Boilermakers. The Badgers improving to 3-1, but they've lost running back Ches Malusi, who suffered a fractured fibula and is out for the season, head coach Luke Fickell.
You know, because of all the things he's gone through, you know, all the ups and downs and the injuries, and to have the attitude that he has, he'll still be a really big part of what it is that we do.
Baseball. The Brewers missed another chance to clinch a spot in the playoffs. They lost again to the Miami Marlins, this time 6-1. The Crew are back in Milwaukee tonight to take on the Cardinals. Outfielder Sal Frelick are now having a chance to secure a playoff spot with a win at home.
When it comes to clinching, like, I think we're in a great spot. We have a big homestand to do it at when we get home, so it'll be exciting.
Starting pitcher Freddy Peralta only lasted three innings on the mound yesterday in Miami. Craig Counsell.
He's been sick. He was really sick on Friday night, and I think that just kind of zapped some of his energy.
Was it just kind of like a bug, do you think, with him? Or
he was sick.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you're having a good day so far. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, on this Monday morning. And it's going to be a rainy Monday for most areas of western Wisconsin. La Crosse today. In fact, I should say that everywhere that I'm going to mention, mostly cloudy today with a chance of rain. La Crosse today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 73. Eau Claire, high around 69. In Richland Center, high around 74. Amory expecting a high around 65. And Hayward expecting a high around 64 degrees. And as I mentioned, every place mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. Some places even expecting thunderstorms later today. Well, you probably know what's going on in sports, right? The Brewers lost yesterday to the Marlins 6-1. They lost two games of that three-game series. And they are off today, the Brewers. And then they start a three-game series with the Cardinals tomorrow night in Milwaukee. And also, you know, the Packers came back and won that game yesterday, beating the Saints 18-17. And Green Bay will take on the Lions in a battle for first place in the NFC North on Thursday night at Lambeau. Man, that'll be a good game to watch. Lots going on in the news today. One of the first things I want to talk about is this effort by some lawmakers in Wisconsin to get rid of this, or to at least get Wisconsin out of what's known as the Electronic Registration Information Center, also known as ERIC, Electronic Registration Information Center. And this was a system that was started by Republicans around the country several years ago, I think around 2016. And Wisconsin, led by Republican lawmakers, decided to jump into this so that
we could check against other states if there was anybody voting twice in two different states. So I think there were about half the states involved in this originally, around 25 states. And the reason why they put this together was because, as you know, Republicans have often said that there's all kinds of voter fraud going on, right? Anytime Republicans would lose, that was the issue. It was voter fraud. Democrats were bussing in people from wherever to vote in large numbers, and they were stuffing ballot boxes, and they were just committing all kinds of voter fraud. Well, that was all made up, you know? So what happens is they put this electronic registration information center together. And over the past 7 years or so since they've done this, about the only people busted for voter fraud were Republicans. And it's almost like you can't blame them, because when they watch Fox News or they listen to the conservative talk radio, they're told that Democrats are committing all kinds of voter fraud. So a person who's likely to vote for a Republican might say, well, they're doing it, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to vote here where I have my winter home, and I'm going to vote over there where I have my summer home. So they might vote in Florida and Wisconsin or some other combination. But since this electronic registration information center was put in place about 7 years ago or so, almost everybody who has been arrested or busted for voter fraud, they've been Republicans or people who voted Republican. So now, because that's the case, the Republican-led legislature in our state wants to get rid of this. They want to get Wisconsin out of this electronic registration information center. And it makes you scratch your head and say, well, why is that? Is that so more Republicans can commit voter fraud? I hope not. But now let me give you this headline here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Republican lawmakers seek to withdraw Wisconsin from the group that has caught scores of cases of double voting. Okay. And that's that ERIC that I'm talking about, Electronic Registration Information Center. Listen to this. It says two Republican lawmakers are proposing to remove Wisconsin's membership from a nonpartisan national organization that has allowed state election officials to catch scores of voter fraud cases. Senator Dewey Strobel of the town of Cedarburg and Representative Ty Bodden of Hilbert released legislation last week that would remove Wisconsin from the Electronic Registration Information Center known as ERIC. The organization comprises 25 states and has become a target of Republicans since former President Donald Trump launched a baseless campaign to discredit election systems in key battleground states, including Wisconsin, after he lost re-election in 2020. Earlier this year, Trump called on Republican-led states to withdraw from ERIC. Now, why do you think Trump would want the Republican states to withdraw from ERIC? Is it so Republicans can commit voter fraud? Makes you wonder. Eight Republican-controlled states have already dropped their membership since 2022. Driving the exodus, in part, is the organization's effort to increase access to voter registration by requiring states as part of their membership to reach out to residents who are eligible to vote but not registered, according to the nonpartisan National Conference of State Legislatures. And what would happen in that case if more people were voting? Well, we often see that when more people vote, more Democrats are elected. Getting back to the story in the Journal Sentinel, it says Bodden and Strobel, in a memo to colleagues seeking support, cited the voter outreach as a reason to withdraw, arguing the focus, quote, has led many to question whether ERIC's architects placed more of a priority on registering voters as opposed to ensuring the accuracy of voter registration lists, end quote. In a post on Truth Social, Trump characterized Eric as a, quote, terrible voter registration system that pumps the rolls for Democrats and does nothing to clean them up, end quote. But Wisconsin routinely gets information about voters who may have moved from Eric, which identifies such voters using U.S. Postal Service change of address requests and vehicle registration information. Eric provides reports to state officials on which residents are eligible voters and not registered, but how to use that information is up to state officials. Eric's processes do not indicate a political leaning, according to the NCSL. Don Millis, the Republican chairman of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, said the commission has caught a number of cases of voters casting ballots in two states because of Wisconsin's membership in the consortium. And here's a quote. It says, Eric has been instrumental in our ability to uncover election fraud. We've been able to refer to district attorneys scores of people who, it appears based on the information from Eric, voted in more than one state. Without Eric, we wouldn't have that ability to make those referrals, Millis said. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. To maintain confidence in elections, we need to be able to prosecute double voting when it occurs. And so it would be a bad idea to remove us from Eric. To me, it's just totally counterproductive. And Millis added, there have been some allegations about Eric's malfeasance, but I've never seen any evidence of that, end quote. Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, who has become a target of legislative Republicans, has had leadership roles on Eric's executive committee and is a current board member. Spokesman for Baden and Strobel did not answer how Wisconsin officials will catch double voting without Eric's data from other states. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers voted to join the consortium in 2016 as part of a law that created online voter registration in the state. Voting to join Eric were Strobel and Republican legislative leadership, including Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, and Senate President Chris Kapenga. All Democrats voted against the 2016 bill, including Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, who was a member of the Assembly then, and former Assembly Minority Leader PETA Barca. Democratic Governor Tony Evers is likely to veto the legislation if it lands on his desk, but Republican lawmakers are close to having enough votes to override Evers' vetoes. Senate Republicans have a two-thirds majority, giving the caucus the power to override vetoes. In the Assembly, Republican members are short of a veto-proof majority by two members. If enough Democrats are absent when Republican leaders seek to override a veto, it could be successful in the Assembly. So it is kind of ironic that now Republicans want to get rid of the electronic voter registration check. It's kind of funny, too. Hey, it's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Going to take our first break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, Old Man Peen, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon, tonight, into tomorrow, and there could be some heavy rain with these. We're talking up to an inch, maybe more of rain possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow afternoon. Today, cloudy, afternoon showers, thunderstorms, high 69. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, clouds and rain early, gradual clearing late with a high of 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
We'll be right back.
There's a song that'll get you up and moving on a Monday morning. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, going back to their very first album in 1976. But interestingly enough, it was the last song performed by that band at their final concert in 2017. It was on this date, September 25th of 2017. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers did their last show at the Hollywood Bowl, Hollywood, California, and their encore. Last song they did was American Girl. Man, we miss Tom Petty, that's for sure. 25 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And we got 59 degrees with mostly sunny skies in La Crosse. Richland Center, 59 degrees with sunshine. And the next thing I want to get to is a weather-related story. Have you seen the Northern Lights in the last week or so? Well, they've been out there dancing around, and in fact, more people in more areas are able to see the Northern Lights these days, and I have an explanation as to why. This is from interestingengineering.com, and they say the upcoming Northern Lights are going to be the strongest in 20 years. Observers will be able to witness the Northern Lights more frequently and from more locations on Earth if the trend continues. Man, this piece posted a couple days ago starts out like this. It says, on Saturday, scientists told NBC News that sunspot observations, which are a crucial predictor of the probability of seeing the Northern Lights, also known as the Aurora Borealis, have substantially grown since the end of 2022. This has caused the celestial event to thus far outpace current projections and in some cases expand the geographic range where the lights can be seen. Observers will be able to witness the Northern Lights more frequently and from more locations on Earth if the trend continues. The scientists further predict that the next 18 months will see the highest activity of the past 20 years and the upcoming decade. In addition, up until autumn 2024, when the possibility of Aurora Borealis is greatest, solar activity is anticipated to grow progressively. The Northern Lights are a natural light display that occurs in the Earth's polar regions, the high-latitude areas close to the North Pole, which include Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, Canada, Alaska in the United States, and Russia, are where the Northern Lights are most frequently seen. However, scientists reported to NBC News that the most recent Northern Lights were seen Monday as far south as Minnesota and Wisconsin in the United States. And I'm assuming they mean last Monday. The phenomenon is caused by the solar wind, a stream of charged particles released from the sun, principally as electrons and protons. The Northern Lights are created when these particles collide with the magnetosphere, which is the area that the Earth's magnetic field affects. So we're running out of time. Got to go to a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Striking writers and Hollywood studios have reached a tentative deal that could end the months-long strike that's paralyzed the industry. CBS's Elise Preston is in L.A.
There were joyful reactions on social media, especially from actors whose own strike negotiations have stalled. From Mindy Kaling, can't wait to go back to work and see my people.
There's infighting among Republicans in the House over a temporary spending bill to prevent the government from running out of money. Texas GOP Congressman Tony Gonzalez tells CBS,
"There is no doubt in my mind that the country is headed for a shutdown."
People in Maui's historic Lahaina district are being allowed back to see what's left of their homes and businesses after last month's massive wildfire. Christian Santos' grandfather was among the 97 killed.
A lot of us have not actually been able to come back. To see someone go in an unexpected way, it kind of hurts.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A 17-year-old girl was killed in a car crash with a semi-truck in western Wisconsin on Saturday morning. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, the 17-year-old from Fairchild, Wisconsin, was driving on Highway 29 near Elk Mound when she struck a semi-truck going the opposite direction. The semi-truck then went through the median and drove into a ditch. The driver of the semi-truck was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. According to a WPR report, Wisconsin will soon be home to a first-of-its-kind energy storage system that could become the template for wide-scale use across the country. A 200-megawatt-hour storage system is planned by Alliant Energy in Columbia County, using $30 million of federal grant money. Alliant Energy claims the, quote, highly efficient, zero-emission battery system can power as many as 20,000 homes by compressing carbon dioxide from a gas into a liquid, then back into a gas when energy is needed. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Tom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee.
From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I'm a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts: Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I'm a traveler.
see turns to brown. As the sun fades to brown, my eyes fill with sand as I scale this race of life.
Yes, now we're getting somewhere. Led Zeppelin on a Monday morning to get you out of bed and get you going. Man. 59 degrees right now in Eau Claire with cloudy skies. Amory has 58 degrees with rain. And looking for highs today, depending on where you are, anywhere between the mid-60s and the mid-70s. The further south you go, the warmer. But the next thing I want to get to, well, let me tell you before I get to the next topic, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing this morning, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And you can also send me an email message if you would like to. My email address is stewmanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. Manradio@gmail.com. So have you been affected by the strikes in Hollywood, the writers, the screenwriters on strike, the actors on strike? Have you been affected by that at all? Has it changed your viewing habits? I would say that it has affected many people as far as what they watch on television. Personally, I don't watch a whole lot of scripted television, you know, like TV shows that have follow a story, either sitcoms or dramas. But one thing I've always watched are the late night shows, Stephen Colbert and Saturday Night Live. And those shows have been in reruns for what, the past 5 months or so? Well, there's some movement now. And I have a headline here from the New York Times. It says on day 146, screenwriters reach deal with studios to end their strike. The subheadline says the Writers Guild of America got most of what it wanted with actors still on the picket lines. However, much of Hollywood will remain shut down. But it does sound like some of those unscripted programs, like the late night shows, may be coming back pretty quickly, although they won't have the actors on the shows promoting their latest movies or TV shows. This piece was posted this morning at the New York Times. It says Hollywood's bitter months-long labor dispute has taken a big first step toward a resolution. The Writers Guild of America, which represents more than 11,000 screenwriters, reached a tentative deal on a new contract with entertainment companies on Sunday night, all but ending a 146-day strike that has contributed to a shutdown of television and film production. Says here, in the coming days, guild members will vote on whether to accept the deal, which has much of what they had demanded, including increases in compensation for streaming content, concessions from studios on minimum staffing for television shows, and guarantees that artificial intelligence technology will not encroach on writers' credits and compensation. Here's a quote from the negotiating committee of the Writers Guild. They said, "We can say with great pride that this deal is exceptional, with meaningful gains and protections for writers in every sector of the membership," the Writers Guild negotiating committee said in an email to members. Conspicuously not doing a victory lap was the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, which bargains on behalf of the studios. Here's a quote. They put out a comment that said the WGA and the AMPTP have reached a tentative agreement. That was the only comment from the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
from the studio side for an industry upended by the streaming revolution, which the pandemic sped up. The tentative accord represents a meaningful step forward, or excuse me, step toward stabilization. But much of Hollywood will remain at a standstill. Tens of thousands of actors remain on strike, and no talks between the actors' union, SAG-AFTRA, and the studios were scheduled. The only productions that could restart in short order would be ones without actors, like the late-night shows hosted by Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert, and daytime talk shows hosted by Drew Barrymore and Jennifer Hudson. The upshot, in addition to actors, more than 100,000 behind-the-scenes workers, including directors and camera operators, publicists and makeup artists, prop makers, set dressers, lighting technicians, hairstylists, and cinematographers in Los Angeles and New York will continue to stand idle, many with mounting financial hardship. California's economy alone has lost more than $5 billion from the Hollywood shutdown, according to Governor Gavin Newsom. SAG-AFTRA, the union, has been on strike since July 14th, that is the actors' union. Its demands exceed those of the Writers Guild, and the Studio Alliance decided to prioritize talks with the Writers Guild in part because of the hard line taken by Fran Drescher. Remember the nanny? The SAG-AFTRA's leader. Among other things, the actors want 2% of the total revenue generated by streaming shows, something that studios have said is a non-starter. Even so, the deal with the Writers Guild could speed up negotiations with the Actors Union. Some of SAG-AFTRA's concerns are similar to ones raised by the Writers Guild. Actors, for instance, worry that artificial intelligence could be used to create digital replicas of their likenesses, or that performances could be digitally altered without payment or approval. The last sticking point between the Writers Guild and the studios involved artificial intelligence. On Saturday, lawyers for the entertainment companies came up with language, a couple paragraphs inside a contract that runs hundreds of pages, that addressed a guild concern about artificial intelligence and old scripts that studios own. The sides spent several hours on Sunday making additional tweaks. The tentative deal came after several senior company leaders joined the talks directly, among them Robert Iger, Disney's chief executive, Donna Langley, who is the chair of the NBC Universal Studio Group, also Ted Sarandos. He is Netflix's co-chief executive, and also David Zaslav, who runs Warner Brothers Discovery. Typically, talks took place between union negotiators and Carol Lombardini, who leads the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, an organization that bargains on behalf of the eight biggest Hollywood content companies. Talks resumed on Wednesday after a hiatus of nearly a month, a period when each side insisted that the other was the one refusing to negotiate. Writers Guild leaders had come under intense pressure from some of its A-list members, including Ryan Murphy from American Horror Story, Kenya Barris from Black-ish, and Noah Hawley from Fargo. Showrunners like Murphy did not push Writers Guild leaders to take what was already on the table. Rather, they agitated for an immediate return to negotiations and cited as a reason the increasing financial hardship on idled Hollywood workers. Hollywood workers have taken more than $45 million in hardship withdrawals from the motion picture industry pension plan since September 1st, according to a document compiled by plan administrators that was viewed by the New York Times. Murphy set up a financial assistance fund for idled workers on his shows, and committed $500,000 as a starting amount. Within days, he had $10 million in requests. So it looks like they're coming together slowly. At least the Writers Guild will be back at work, but the actors will still be out until they can put something together. We've got 8:46 right now, almost 8:47. Going to take a short break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon, tonight, into tomorrow, and there could be some heavy rain with these. We're talking up to an inch, maybe more of rain possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow afternoon. Today, cloudy, afternoon showers, thunderstorms, high 69. Tonight, 58. Tomorrow, clouds and rain early, gradual clearing late with a high of 67. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Don't worry me none, in my eyes you're everything.
to save you from being alone. You stole my soul, and that's a pain I can do without. All I needed was a friend to lend a guiding hand, but you turned into a lover and mother.
Welcome back to the Steve Daniels Show. Monday morning, 8:52 right now. We've got 60 degrees with mostly cloudy skies in Hayward. And in La Crosse right now, sunshine with 64 degrees. And when we played that Led Zeppelin a little while ago, I should have mentioned that it was on this date in 1980 that John Bonham passed away at the age of 32. Double check that and make sure it was 1980. Yep, it was 1980. It's hard to believe dude's been gone for that long. But anyway, the next thing I want to get to here as we work our way through all of this news is this story about Trump. You know, it's hard to keep up with all these indictments, four separate indictments now, 91 different charges. But I'll try to keep you updated on these different indictments as we move through them. This here from MSN.com, the 1945 story by John Rossomondo. And it says here that Donald Trump was just hit with a bad legal defeat. I guess this was yesterday or maybe Saturday. Well, let's see what it says. It says the judge overseeing the civil case against former President Donald Trump's real estate empire slapped down his attorneys for what he said amounted to making false statements by repeating arguments he previously dismissed. The former president's attorneys have sought to have the civil suit against him thrown out due to their contention that the statute of limitations had run out. The attorney for Trump said the foundation of the case is to ignore everything. The case comes down to prosecuting the defendants for engaging in successful business transactions. End quote. Do you believe that? An appellate court ruled in June that had been the case on some of the allegations. Kice, the attorney for Trump, Chris Kice, asked Judge Arthur Engoron, the judge overseeing the case, to dismiss it, arguing that no fraud had occurred. And the judge said the fact that no one was hurt does not mean the case gets dismissed. Fairness in the marketplace suffered from Trump's actions. New York State Attorney General Letitia James wants the Trump Organization declared liable for filing fraudulent financial statements. James, the attorney general, ran for office in 2018, vowing to get Trump. She claims that Trump inflated his net worth by as much as $3.6 billion to get loans and insurance, and hopes to impose a $250 million fine on the Trump Organization. Her lawsuit claimed that Trump cooked his financial statements between 2011 and 2021 to get better terms for loans. Now, would that surprise you if that was the case, that Trump lied on his financial statements for over 10 years just to get better terms on his loans? I don't think that would surprise anybody. And that included overvaluing his penthouse at Trump Tower in Manhattan and his Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, Florida. Properties such as 40 Wall Street and his multiple golf courses also figured into the arguments in court. The alleged valuation of the penthouse was exaggerated by reporting it was triple its actual size.
Mar-a-Lago was valued at $739 million by claiming it was an unrestricted property that Trump could develop as he wished, even though that was not true. James, the attorney general, wants the judge to find Trump liable before a jury can hear all of the evidence. Trump's lawyer contended Friday the case should be thrown out because there was not any fraud. He noted that the insurance companies had not used the numbers James' office had used to get the alleged valuations of Trump's properties. The judge said, when I first heard those arguments, I thought that was a joke. That's the judge talking. And that's Judge Arthur Engoron, the judge overseeing the case. He said that while threatening sanctions against Trump's attorneys, quote, the rule on sanctions is, if you've been warned, don't do it. You were warned. The judge became visibly agitated, quote, you cannot make false statements and use them in business, the judge said. So that case moving forward, it's hard to imagine Trump being honest about anything. Got 8:58 right now. Going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.